Welcome to Rock the Midlife Show, a podcast that brings you fun and interesting conversations to inspire, motivate, and encourage women on their journey through midlife. I am Alinka Tercic, your host. I help women at midlife to rediscover themselves and their vision and thrive through the transition into their next stage. Enjoy! Hello, hello. Today I'm here with Sarupa Shah. She is a soul agent and we will be talking about our favorite topic, money.
Hi, Sarupa. Hi, Alinka. It is a favorite topic, isn't it? It's a love-hate topic.
It's a love and hate topic. And why don't we just start with how you got into this work? And because you're a soul agent, you have like a very special, I would say, point of view on them, on the money and the financial well-being.
So I'll give you like a potted version, but because it is it's quite funny. I mean, I was always into energy, like before I read any books, you know, like it's my earliest memories of giving healing and seeing energy around people. But I also had these big career dreams, you know, at the same time, although I wanted to work for myself. So I loved money, but I loved spirit. And in those days, I'm not that old, but in those days, it was like you had to be one or the other. You either had to love the material world or love the spiritual world, and there was no joining of the two. So there was this whole idea of to be spiritual, you had to prove how much you were willing to sacrifice and be in poverty, and it was all about being a martyr. And it just didn't sit with me. But I used to live these separate lives. And one day I just said, enough. There's got to be more. You know, this just didn't work. I was literally it was like living these double lives that my spiritual life couldn't know that I loved earning and enjoying, you know, doing things and being things and striving to have a different career and a better career and have more impact, because you kind of had to be the spiritual, but keep your head down and say, it's okay, I don't mind nothing because I'm just gonna send energy and do, you know. It was just this confusion about, well, we live in this world, what's it all about? And it just took, that was, you know, probably in the mid to late 90s, and it just took me on this journey. And for a long time I hid all my work around money and spirituality and understanding how everything is spiritual. But eventually I let it out into the world, and the people expect when I talk or when they work with me that I'm just going to tell them they have to earn a gazillion pounds or dollars or euros or whatever. But it's not even about that, because abundance and financial well-being is really about you simply being what you came to be in the world, and not sacrificing anything and being the light that you came to be.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. And as you said, it is a love-hate relationship, and it's especially hard for the people that are really into spirituality, or, you know, they want to follow their passion, they want to follow the love and you know, what they are here to do, and then accepting money. And like you said, it's so much more than just earning money.
It's there's a confusion. And even though people, you know, a lot of people say, no, I'm not confused, but there is this confusion of the fear that I think a lot of us who are walking that, you know, this life, part of my journey, like a lot of people's is, and it doesn't make it any better or worse or, you know, more important, because everybody is on the path that their soul has agreed for them this life. But for those of us that are walking that kind of a journey to being awakened and holding the light and anchoring our light in the world in a very conscious way, there's still that confusion of, if I earn well, am I taking it from somebody else? Does it make me greedy? You know, we've got all these doubts and uncertainties that swim around in our energy at varying levels. They pop out, and there's anger still about what people might earn. And or what people might be charging, then we don't know what our value is. You know, it's just this whole, we've made it really complicated.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fear that's become so normal that it's not the kind of fear that makes you hide under the bed and or wanna, you know, shake in your boots type of fear. It's just, we've normalized our doubt and uncertainty about it all. And we're worried in case we've got it wrong, that we keep this love-hate relationship going. And then there's the other side, because I used to get really annoyed with myself, thinking, well, I've been around money since I was little, because I used to see my mum and dad, you know, when we used to go shopping, I'd see them giving money to the shop assistant. And it was more cash-based when I was younger than it was card-based. So it's like something that we assume we should be comfortable with and should know about. And I was doing really well earning in my career, but as soon as I went into my own business, everything fell apart. Because suddenly people had to pay me. Suddenly I was selling me. It was, that was where my learning really became big.
I completely understand, because I was the same. I was in my financial, I was in the financial businesses. I was dealing with millions of euros, you know, and but it was not my money. It was not, they were not paying me. They were paying like the company. It was, you know, the owner's money, the, you know, other people went out and earned that. I was just managing it. And as soon as I became my own boss, and it was like my dream from, like you said, the early days, you know, I wanted to be and my own boss and wanted to have my own company. But how can I sell myself?
And then like, suddenly it's like, why would anybody want to pay me? Then all our rubbish comes up, because then you start to give, you know, I used to give away so much for free. Mm. Like I remember, and it still makes me cringe. I did all these, you know, it was the early 2000s or mid 2000s. I was doing these discovery calls with people, you know, and I know they're still really fashionable, but I don't do them anymore because they're really effectively sales calls, but I did them as these coaching calls that were meant to be 30 minutes. You know, 2 hours later, I was still on the telephone with people who wanted to ask me one more thing. And I kept just, it was like giving everything away. And that was a real massive turning point, because I realized, where's my value? Yeah. And these people weren't valuing what I was giving them, even though they were asking, because they were getting it for free. So this whole, and that doesn't mean free isn't good, but it doesn't mean that free is good. It's finding that balance of value and honesty and integrity where everybody wins. But it all this stuff around people pleasing comes up, all this stuff around they're not going to want to pay me, I'm nothing special. You know, all our stuff comes up. And if we don't address it, it doesn't go away. And that's always been my thing about healing. And people say time heals. No, it doesn't. The only thing time heals is grief, you know, the passage of grief lessens over time. But when we've got our stuff around needing approval or not believing we're good enough, time doesn't heal that. It just becomes more and more stuck and more normal, which is why it takes courage to say, I'm going to deal with this. And I, you know, and obviously I had bucket loads of courage, probably more then than I even do now, to address the bits that suddenly I thought, this isn't working, you know, this isn't working for me at the moment, because I'm just becoming less and less happy because I'm not earning and I'm not even serving the people that I, you know, thought I could help and make a difference to.
Yeah, and we give such a big importance to money, and, you know, like it's our value, it's our respect, it's, you know, everything we feel that that the money will give us, instead of just being, you know, like you said, the transactional mean to something else.
Yeah, it's a means to exchange, and people will, you know, like in my experience, you know, I've been doing money work, you know, I've been kind of bringing down the teaching for a while, you know, since the late 1999 was when the kind of first big major teaching around this sort of started to come through me, and I've been working with, you know, with it myself, and then taking it out into the world from about 2008-09 onwards. But one of the things people will say is, no, money's, people will say money's not important, yet It is the most important thing for them. No, money isn't my decision maker, yet it always is. So money becomes the boss and the king. And that's exactly what we don't want. That's what people will argue against or say no. But until we address our fears and our stories and the false idol we've given it, it stops. It can't become the ally that it is. It can't become that means of exchange. It's just a reflection of energy. Yet we see it as this big thing outside of us that chooses us if we're lucky or if we're born into it. You know, we've got all these superstitions that we say don't exist in our lives, but they do. And I, one of the things over the last few years I've been sort of really working with people on is to say, do you follow your heart or do you follow the money? And I'm all about following your heart, because that's where your soul energy sits. That's where you connect to the enormity and magic and magnificence of everything you could be and the universe. So it's following that, and it's shifting, you know, these balances and shifting the kind of order, because it has been, you know, money has become the boss.
Yes, I completely agree. And all the stories that we tell ourselves about the money, and in reality, we throughout our upbringing, we just see the glimpses of, you know, those transactions and emotions around money. And we create such a big stories out of it that actually lead our lives, you know, for the next 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah. And when it's your, and it's very subtle, but when it's your decision maker, it's, you stop connecting to your intuition, because whatever you stop connecting to the prompts that the universe has given you, because everything has to go through this filter of money. And it might not come as black and white as the word money, but it will be, you know, is it a good idea? Is it the right time? Should I be doing this? Should I wait? It might be too risky. We become risk averse, because everything, every form of kind of divine, call it divine guidance or intuition, whatever you know, whatever your terms for it could be, goes through that filter of, it has to pass my test of, am I safe? Because my safety only comes from money. And then we have the opposite of, if I'm earning, then I must be really spiritual and I must be amazing. And all of those stances are misleading and missing the kind of understanding and the point of the real relationship that we can have with abundance and financial, you know, abundance and well-being.
Right. So how can we change it? How can we change the money stories? Because I completely agree with you. You know, we are so focused on the money and the financial, you know, the results, the bottom line, and if it makes us money, we can afford it, not afford it. It brings so much.
The easiest answer to that is to learn how to follow your intuition, and not your gut, but your heart. You know, it's another one of the things that I talk about, because people are, you know, following our gut, we're following our, we're really addressing our emotional and mental well-being. But when we follow our heart, we're actually following our soul path. And it's a journey. You know, people expect to come and, you know, I've had people that come and do money work and expect immediate, you know, some people get immediate shifts. Sometimes our journey is going to take a little, you know, a longer process, because that's just what the journey is. But it's about following that. And actually, again, another thing over the last few years I've addressed within me and taking out is, we need to be really honest, because we often tell ourselves it's okay anyway, I can't, and we kind of keep lots of stuff hidden, even from ourselves. So it's about that honesty of, okay, how can I be more? It's not about how can I have more, but how can I be more in the world? And when we look at it from that sort of framing, you automatically start to address the bits where we hold within ourselves that we're less than, or that we can't be more, or where we might tell ourselves a lie that we're stuck. So it's really about that kind of that honesty. And I mean, for me, I don't always go to the dentist because we go, you know, in the UK, it's like, you know, they encourage you to go twice a year. We might go because we have toothache in the middle of it. But if you go for your checkups, you don't go because there's a problem. You go because it's that maintenance. And I always say to people, explore your relationship with money regularly, not because you're expecting to find something wrong, because you're expecting to find, because you can expect to find more gold in the broadest sort of thing. You can expect to find more of who you are, more of your magic, more of who you could be in the world as you explore and go into that inner world and into those sort of depths and places that you perhaps have kept hidden from yourself.
Wow, I love that, especially because, you know, my podcast and everything that I do is around the midlife, where women are, you know, like really waking up and questioning who they are and, you know, what they are here to do on earth, apart from, you know, bringing up kids and having the career or whatever they've been doing so far, but really getting more into knowing themselves and following their dreams and really reconnecting with their passion, their hobbies, their, you know, following that joy. And it's so hard to get out of the conditions that they've been living for those 40, 50 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's that we put ourselves in a box of I can, I can't, not yet, not today, not, you know, maybe in a few years, because I'm not enough yet. So, you know, it's about taking down those boxes. And yet most people that I'm sure who listen to this podcast, you know, will know the academics of abundance. We'll be able to, we could sit and talk, so many of us, about, yeah, the universe is abundant and, you know, you just have to do this and you have to think like this, you have to feel like this. But it's living it is a completely different thing. So it's taking away the, you know, academic, this isn't an academic exercise. Living isn't about being a library of information. It's living it is saying, okay, so I'm going to implement this and I'm going to see where it goes. And I'm going to see what I learn about myself along the way. It might give an amazing outcome. It might give an outcome that I would have preferred not to have. However, I'm going to learn. So it's about that learning, and that learning is more important to our energy and our relationship with abundance than saying I will only go forward if I can guarantee every I is dotted and every T is crossed, because it brings us back to safety, and safety is always an energy of lack. That doesn't mean that we have to be all living on the edge of a cliff. See, people always take it the opposite. Say, well, if I'm not safe, then how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my mortgage? Nobody's saying that's the opposite. But it's the fact that our safety has become such a small box and we are so proud of the information we have. It's like post-it notes, energetic post-it notes of I know about abundance. I know about the law of attraction. I know about manifestation. Mm. It's time to live it. It's really time to live it. And that takes one step, then another, then another, then another, because it's taking it away from the headspace, taking it away from being that library.
Yeah, I completely agree. It became almost like a all or nothing.
Yeah.
And what we started with, like, okay, I am following, you know, like the spiritual path, or I'm following the material path, but it's all in us. We are all this and we are everything. And, you know, combining those two into something more is the key. Yeah.
And the thing is the thing that people, I guess, struggle with, because we have the word material and people separated the corporate world and the non-corporate mm-hmm. world and all of these divisions. And we're always going to have an element of duality, but everything within our universe is part of it. Nothing is outside of it. So even the bits we don't like are still part of the universe. They're still part of this spiritual, energetic universe. They're here for a purpose. We might not understand the reason, but it's all here for a purpose. So if we kind of take away the idea that there's this separation between material and spiritual and realize everything is spiritual, and it's a deep kind of concept to you know, like every now and then I feel like, whoa, that's quite big. It's like looking up at the stars at night. Sometimes you think, wow, it is big out there. But it starts to kind of take away that pressure of, I've got to make a choice between one or the other.
Yeah, and it's that that choosing that's always, you know, and what you said before, like choosing with your head, with your mind, with the money, with the, you know, with the experience that we had so far. And the whole key is just experience new things and explore new things.
Yeah, and be willing to know that there is always more. We it's like there's not a, you know, people talk about the journey in life, not just in spiritual circles or heart-centered circles, but it is a journey. There is no destination. So the destination isn't to arrive at XK, you know, like 5K months or whatever, you know. And I know that it's very attractive in marketing to offer things like this, but it's not about that. The journey really isn't about when I achieve this, I'm perfect, because there is no such thing. It's the journey is, how can I be more? How can I share more of me, and how can I make a difference? How can I create the difference that my soul contract, you know, has written, encoded in it, which was agreed before we were born? So for me, the whole experience of working with money, work, you know, is not just about the money. It's so much more. It's about who you are, anchoring that light, your soul purpose, you know, sharing and being part of changing the world.
Right. So what would you suggest? What would be your advice for women who are struggling with this part? You know, what would be their, like, the little next step?
Well, I mean, does it have to be a little next step? You know, I think we need to give more credit. If you're so... No, I know what you mean.
You know, we can. It's the process, yeah. It's the exploration, and everything. So...
I would say, you know, I would say, like, I know, even though I do money work with people, and I, you know, I do a lot of soul purpose work and all of that, and I know when I need to address stuff. We know now. We can either I can avoid it and put it away and say ignore it and pretend it doesn't need to be addressed. You know, it's like seeing dust in your room. You can pretend it's not there, and eventually, you know, you're going to have to dust it or whatever, you know, because at some point it's just that dust is going to attract more and more and more. Same thing in us. We know. So it's when you know, if you know, if you're listening to this, whenever you're listening to this, and you get that feeling that, you know what, I want to explore that more. I want to explore where my money story, where I've been blind to it being limited, or this recurring pattern, is to become that adventurer, become curious and be the adventurer and step out and break the cycle that tells you that you don't need to address it, and take a step towards addressing it. So whether you find a little program or some kind of self-study something, you know, and I'm going to actually, even though I'm writing a book, I'm going to say stay away from the book at the moment, because that's our default, you know, that I'll buy a book and just become academic about this. Actually go and learn and try something new. We need to break our habits. Change doesn't come, you know, we know that change doesn't come by being the same, or just because we've thought that we want to address something.
So read about it.
You know, the amount of people that have said, oh, that's, you know, it's like my, I always laugh and think to myself, every sort of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I say, right, from Monday, I'm going to eat healthy. You know, it's the eternal Monday diet. And I know I'm never going to do it, but it's just like, it's a great example for me to share, because people will make these statements of, no, this is the month. This is when I'm going to stop thinking like this or feeling like this, and I'm going to really go for it. And they don't. They're just empty words, because we need to implement practical action. Practical action is what leads to magic. You know, people expect magic and miracles to happen when we just sat at home, and we've all read these stories that are half sort of telling us about this miracle that happened and this happened. But the fact is there was practical action prior to all of this. That's how we anchor the light. So it's about knowing, look, I'm going to change this habit. If I always go left, I'm going to go right. If I always tell myself I can't, I'm going to say I can, and then I'm going to actually make it happen. Because it's no point saying, I'm going to say every day, I can, I can, I can, and then all your actions are the opposite. You know, then you're just doing nothing except you're kidding yourself. So it really is about taking a step and an action, you know, which isn't considered very spiritual necessarily, or, you know, isn't maybe the most the thing that people want to hear. But you know what? If we don't take action, nothing's going to change. Mm. If we don't break a habit, nothing will change. If we don't replace that habit that we're breaking with a new habit, how can our frequency change? How can our vibration change? How can our experience of who we are expand and be shared in the world?
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, a lot of people are really aware. I mean, almost everyone has some issue with money. And the taking that step, or taking that, you know, opposite direction or whatever, can really be scary. Yeah. And can be, but it can be big, it can be a little step into another direction, it can be a little step into something more.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be new. Yeah, it doesn't have to be big leaps, but it might be, you know. That's why there's not a template, you know. There isn't a template that you have to do this in this order, because people's courage will be different. People's mm-hmm. whole experience will be different. So people will, you know, sometimes I take small steps, sometimes they're big leaps. It's again, working with the energy and working with your kind of heart prompt and what you're feeling guided to do, what you're willing to do as well, will always play into it, because what people say and what they're willing to do are often, you know, very, very opposite. But you just said something that I want to pick up about, you know, having issues. And the word issue automatically makes people think there's a problem. It's just an opportunity. There's constantly an opportunity to be more. And if we start to reframe that now, we don't see ourselves as wrong. Because people who have done money work, say with me, when I first took it out into the world, you know, in 2010 or whenever it was, if they didn't ever do money work again, they might have felt that they've gone backwards, because they basically pressed pause. But they, you know, so that was their learning. However, I always say, you know, you keep going forward, because there's always more to explore. There's always more to release. There's always more to move beyond. So the issue, if we take that word away and say it's an opportunity, there's always an opportunity. And people get surprised that, you know, when I talk about challenges that I hit again, or another depth of something that I maybe thought, oh, I worked on this last year, oh, it's come again. here's another few layers of it.
It's, you know, a never-ending story.
Yeah. You know, and Louise Hay talked about the onions and the peeling of those layers. That's all it is, because it's the refinement of light. We're not mm-hmm. at the point of enlightenment. You know, we're always moving towards it. But even when you become to that point that might be what people assume is enlightenment, there's always more, because our universe is breathing out. So the understanding and the learning and all of that is still continuing. So our opportunity to be more is also abundant. It's never ending.
Yeah, I love the reframe. And I agree with you. I'm so conscious about the words that I use, and the issue is definitely not something that I use often.
No, but it's fine to use it, I think, but it's just the fact that, you know, as you said, I could just imagine, like, people listening thinking, oh yeah, I've got so many issues, because of course we feel like that, because it's got a connotation. But no word is bad or good, as opposed to it, but it's just what the emphasis that's been placed on it is. We're constantly looking at what's wrong instead of what's the opportunity here. Oh, there's something wrong. If we launch something and nobody comes, or, you know, we launch a coaching service or even a podcast and we don't feel like there's enough listeners, we start to assume there's something wrong with us, instead of looking at what's the opportunity here. And as soon as we start to look at this idea there's something wrong with me, we start to dig up anything that we might have even resolved, because we start to wear it again like a wound to say there's something wrong with me, I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. And it just, the cycle just perpetuates.
Yeah, I love that. And I love I would love to finish this with, like you said, the opportunities are everywhere, the life is everlasting experiment in the journey where we learn all the time. And this is basically what I try to bring to my listeners, bring to my readers, and even in the coaching. Like, yes, we are here in whatever phase of life we are, but there's always so much more than we can be and do and even have. And there's nothing wrong with having money and having, you know, financial abundance and having even things, but having them for the right reasons and for the right, you know, not putting so much value on them and so much importance that they define us.
We don't need to hide behind stuff. We don't need to prove anything. We don't, you know what? We just need to have a good time. People often say to me, what's my purpose? And, you know, if you catch me in a certain way, I'll just say your purpose is to have fun. We weren't put on here. We didn't incarnate here to have a terrible time to find out what's wrong with us. We incarnated to have fun and share the light. And we've got to literally lighten up about things and be willing. You know, one of the things, you know, that I really want to share is that willing to be seen isn't about how much you're on social media. It's willing to be seen as a light being who's willing to do the work to be all that, you know, she or he came to be. You know, that's where the magic is. That's where abundance, the heart and soul of abundance really is.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yes. Let us be seen. Let us shine.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, Surupa, where can people find more about your work, about you, where they can follow you? Because I'm sure they will get a lot of value, not just what we shared here. It's, you know, just a short 30 minutes, but I know you're big on Instagram.
I am. I'm big on Instagram. You can just find me if you search for Surupa, Sarupa. I'm also got my Soul Agent website, the soulagentblog.com. And then I've also created some abundance oracle cards for you to get some wisdom from the universe about your kind of steps around abundance. And I also train people in how to work with those cards with other people, because there's a lot of work that's needed out there, you know, to help people wake up to abundance. And that's at theabundanceoraclecards.com. But if you search from your social media, I'm pretty active. The only one I'm not active on is LinkedIn.
Yeah, we all have our own faces.
Yeah, there's a point where you think there's too many.
Yes. But like you said, you know, you if you put your light out, people will find you. You will attract them. You will, even if you influence or, you know, help or empower even one person, that's my guiding light. You know, oh no, I'm not getting likes. I'm not getting, like you said, listeners. But even if I manage to help one person that listens to this, you know, I'm doing my work. So I'm happy.
Yeah, and of course we can aim for more, but it's, you know, it's just, yeah, we've just, and sometimes we just expect this sort of overnight, it's going to be, you know, if we take the example of a podcast, people will assume, oh, well, I've just launched it and I should have thousands of people reading, you know, listening. I remember when I launched my blog years ago, I didn't even know how I did it, you know, it was long before even Facebook was around or anything. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm on the web, all these millions of people that are on the internet. And I used to be lucky if I got two or three people reading it, because I had no idea what I was doing. I was writing. I had no idea about SEO or, you know, where to put it. I just assumed it was out there. But it didn't dishearten me. Mm-hmm. It did not dishearten me one bit that I'd had maybe three people in 1 week look at my blog. And they were probably all me, you know, in any case,
it didn't dishearten me.
Yeah, or my mom or whoever, you know, like it didn't dishearten me. And I'm glad it didn't, because it would have taken me down another road, because it made me, it just inspired me to do more. And that was, but the energy of what I was doing was going out there. And that's that thing, yes, of, you know, we've got to, if we're walking this spiritual path, you know, like I've said earlier, you know, taking away from academia, we need to start to understand energy more and not pay it lip service, because the energy was going out there, was building a foundation. And in the end, you know, all these years later, I have my own column in Soul and Spirit magazine. Last year I had a column in Spirit and Destiny, another magazine. So these were all the things that I wanted to experience and achieve and create, and they didn't happen overnight, mm-hmm, but it's the planting of the seeds that did happen, that grew and are blooming now.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much for being my guest. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on Rock the Midlife Show. If you find value, you can visit our website rockthemidlife.com, where you can listen to previous episodes and subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and other platforms so you never miss an episode. I would very much appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about it. You might also want to check out our Facebook community, The Midlife Sorority. I hope we meet again next week for our new episode. Bye!